Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We welcome you. Also, those tuning in through our online affiliates around the world, we're glad you all could be with us as well. I was just saying to my next guest, Pamela Seelig, that her new book, Threads of Yoga, really takes us so far beyond just the practice and really show us the contributions it can help us make in our entire way of life. We're going to talk to Pamela not only about the writing of the book, Threads of Yoga, but why this message has been so important for her to share. The subtitle of the book is Themes, Reflections, and Meditations to Weave into Your Practice. We're going to share with you all how you can do that on the course, how you can stay connected with Pamela as well. Pamela, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Cyrus.
Well, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I went into this book, Pamela, honestly not knowing what to expect, as I do a lot of times when a book is pitched to me. But what I was so glad about when I was reading it was that how you really show how the themes of yoga and the practice of yoga is really something we can kind of build into our life and make it become a part of our lifestyle. What has that been like for you, Pamela, and your work to be able to share with other people?
Oh, it's been terrific. I think I was fortunate in that I was introduced to yoga about 30 years ago through meditation, not through the postures. So that really helped me to understand that postures are terrific. I don't want to discount those, but
sure,
yoga is so much more than that.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people, including myself, quite honestly, I think a lot of times we think about that emphasis. But I love the fact that you're able to show again how in different situations, in fact, I'm going to read something from the book a little bit later, but how in different situations we can benefit from relying on that. So talk to us about that introduction that you mentioned, Pamela. What was it that kind of led you to yoga, or how did it kind of find you?
Well, I was a reluctant yogi because, like a lot of people, it was an illness that made me turn in this direction. I had in the 80s, I had kind of a high stress job on Wall Street, and I came down with Bell's palsy, which I'd never heard of, but it's dramatic. It's when half of your face is paralyzed, and you know, I went to the emergency room. I was relieved to find out it's not life-threatening and not really uncommon, actually. And most people recover, but some don't, and it takes months. So you sort of – and there's no therapy or anything for it, at least at that time. So you sort of just get kind of stopped in your tracks. So I went to a lot of different doctors, and one took pity on me and said, "Have you tried meditation or – alternative medicine?" And I didn't know what that meant, alternative medicine, but I did try meditation, and I found that it really helped, and I loved it. And that's really what got me into it. Again, I would have not turned in that direction at all had it not been for something so dramatic. And then I had a decent recovery, but it did take a while. But I was so fascinated with the effects of meditation that it became sort of a lifelong pursuit of, you know, what's going on here and why don't I know about this?
Right. And did you find then just by nature, because you seem like the type of person, even I was prepping for this segment, Pamela, and even hearing of the interviews you've done, even around this book, that it's not your nature to keep things like this to yourself. So did you know that you had to be able to share this with other people, how they could benefit as well?
Well, I was a little bit concerned that I had never heard of, you know, a lot of this information before, especially in terms of meditation and the beneficial effects. I didn't think I would necessarily share it, although, you know, many years later I became a yoga teacher. I was introduced to the postures, love that, the physical practice. We all do need that too, I think. But when I started teaching, I wanted to share the philosophical and the other aspects of yoga, really the part about the mind and how our mind can be quieted and how to do that. And I was trying to bring that into classes, and I had it was it was harder than it looked. Like I was a little awkward at that. So I was always looking for a book that would help me as a teacher, and I couldn't find it. So eventually, there's some good books out there, but not exactly what I was looking for. So I decided maybe I could write it. And then, of course, as I was writing it, I thought, you know, it's not really for teachers. It's for anyone that's interested in why this 3,000-year-old practice is still a thing. Like, what's happening here? That's really what I wanted to share, and made it so much fun to write.
And I think in writing it, really being able to share along the way. And again, for people who are not familiar with Yoga Sutras, like myself, Pamela, you've made this very easy. So talk to us about how you decided you wanted to frame the book so that even for people who weren't familiar with yoga, we'll be able to still be able to benefit from it.
Yeah, I think most people aren't familiar with the Yoga Sutras, but that's really the foundational text of yoga. There's two, but the Yoga Sutras are really where we get yoga from. And it's very clear. It's 196 little statements. It was written down 2,500 years ago by a sage named Patanjali, but even then it was considered ancient knowledge. He compiled the information. He's very clear. The second sutra, he tells us what yoga is. Yoga, he quotes, yoga is the quieting of the mind. That's what it is. And then the very next sutra, he writes, and then the seer abides in her, his, their true nature. So that's the why. We quiet the mind so we can find our true nature. And then he tells us how. And he gives this eight-limbed path. It's called the eight-limbed path. One of those limbs is postures. But the others are meditation, breath work, the ethical precepts. So it's postures are one way, but there's so much more. Like I said before, meditation being really, really essential. So, you know, it's not that complicated. You know, yoga is the quieting of the mind. But the idea that you can quiet the mind, and I don't mean completely quiet, I mean quiet it down, that idea, I think most of us really don't know that that's even a possibility.
I think that's so true. And it goes to a big part of the book, especially in Chapter 6, since you mentioned the quieting of the mind, Pamela. I want to go there, actually, and read something that you wrote. That chapter is called Opening the Heart. And it's interesting how you talk about the connection between our mind and heart in that chapter. You start off by saying, for those who have the print edition of the book, on page 55, yoga is the process of uncovering the truth of who we are. And then you go on to say this, for most of us, the mind is not quiet. The noise of the mind blocks out the subtle. Out of habit, we are in our heads, perpetually thinking of the past or planning the future. But when we come into the present moment, our attention moves into the body, specifically to the heart. Heart-centered awareness is our natural and optimal state. We can only know how we're genuinely feeling by checking in with the heart. Talk to us about that for you. What was that revelation like for you, Pamela, to come to about the importance of making that connection?
Yes, I found that when I did quiet the mind down again, or actually it's not so much quiet down, you sort of move your attention away from the thoughts. And yoga teaches you how to do that through, one easy way is through the breath. You bring your attention to the breath. So it's bringing the awareness into the physical body by, you know, feeling the breath in the lungs or the ribs. And when you do that, you come out of the head, out of the thoughts. That's really, you know, the process of quieting the mind. What I found was when you bring the awareness into the body, you make this mind-body connection with the breath. Breath, when you focus the mind on the breath, it creates this mind-body connection. And when you feel that, everything slows down and the heart naturally opens. It's our natural state. Thoughts aren't bad. Our mind is not bad by any means. We need our thoughts. We need our reason. But we need balance. We can't just be in the thoughts. And the way to do that is to have this embodiment, come back into our body, into our natural state. And our heart can give us more information than our repetitive thoughts, habitual thoughts. Our heart actually can guide the way in a much more informed way than just listening to that inner narrator in our head all the time.
And I think that is the thing. I love the fact though, that you talk about something I found myself guilty of, Pamela, though I'm working on it. I don't have a problem saying in the past, but I do think about the what's coming up. And I think of so many times we miss out on what is because we are either doing one or the other, right? We're either still lingering on to something or looking forward to something. I love, too, the connection you make even with us thinking about this in a holistic way. In the chapter that got me, and you talk about this in the introduction on page 98, the golden rule is what a lot of people know, especially of faith. But you say this, if we all, or at least most of us, live by the golden rule, we would be living in a better world. Unfortunately, humanity does not always act selflessly. We experience and inflict cruelty in so many ways, from our interpersonal interactions to our institutions and systems. And you talk about how the Yoga Sutras can help us even with that. And you go on to give some great examples when situations come up, how we can be able to tune into those. So I want to talk about that because I think so many times, and I love the way that we're kind of going through this conversation and talking about this more than just another exercise or just something to do. When did you realize that this was something to live?
Well, when I sort of connected my own suffering, I'm not talking about like intense suffering, just sort of the stress of every day when it often gets overwhelming, you know, or sort of everyday reality, when you realize it's just not really working and there must be a better way or a different way. And I think a lot of our wisdom traditions try to get at this with the golden rule and different, you know, sort of ethical guidelines.
Right.
I just connected with the yoga sutras and yoga, but they're not the best or the only way by any means. It's just, you know, what resonates with you. But it's just laid out so beautifully, and the yamas and niyamas, which are part of the eight-limbed path, they lay out these 10 observances and restraints. And they're sometimes called the Yoga Ten Commandments because they look very much like the Ten Commandments. But it's like they're not do's and don'ts, or you won't be punished if you don't follow them. The Yoga Sutras tell us that living in accordance with these particular 10 things is your true nature. And if you go away from them, if you forget that, you won't be happy. You won't find joy. So try to stay as close to these as possible. And that really resonated with me. Like, it's part of who we are. It's our natural state. Like, the first one is ahimsa, or nonviolence. Like, you know, and everything starts with yourself first. You have to be kind and not aggressive or harsh with yourself. And then it flows outward from there. That's the teaching. And
yeah.
I just, you know, it just resonated. I just felt the truth of that. And then practicing was easier knowing that.
Yeah, and I think that's it. So I want to talk about now about the giving. So now that you're having these conversations, Pamela, now that you're able to share your own experience, what has that been like for you to see how people have been able to get it, that they are taking in what you're sharing and being able to make the application for themselves?
Well, I think especially in the time that we're in now, in hopefully the end of the pandemic, where a lot of people's, you know, lives have really been upended, there's been a lot of, I think, people seeking ways to calm, keep calm, and not suffer. And so I think people are really open to these ideas, and I do find that they do resonate because I think people already know the truth. I don't think I'm saying anything that we don't necessarily know already. It's just laying it out in a way that, you know, is modern. It's taking them from in a more modern perspective. So I'm seeing a lot of openness. And I like when you said that there's nothing to do. It's not like I have a lot of practices, but I didn't want to put in things like that you have to do, add to your life. It's like more like, you know, as you're resting, try this practice. Or, you know, before you get out of bed, try this. And, you know, ways to experience the teachings, because then when you integrate them, you really know. You really know what, you know, that you have the wisdom and the knowledge.
Yeah. And I love the fact how you even talk about how we can be able to apply it in different ways. I'm not even going to attempt, Pamela, to pronounce some of these. But in chapter 23 of the book, you talk about a healthy and balanced root chakra and what it can help us to do, especially when we are kind of shaken by different things that may go on in our lives. And I love this point. And again, I'm learning to do this better, and I've been calling myself out on it, that I live a very fulfilling life. I live a busy life, but I don't always really take the time to really connect. And I love the fact that, especially in this chapter, Pamela, you talk about that connection. And I'm going to read a bit of what you said on page 176. And again, you're tying it to when we're finding ourselves in situations that, you know, may shake us, may kind of knock us off, or as you say in the chapter, ungrounds us. You say this: there are many ways to balance the root chakra and tend to our need to feel safe and secure. Slowing down and bringing awareness to the breath in the body several times a day can have significant results. Taking a walk and feeling the ground connect with the bottoms of our shoes or feet allows us to experience the support of the earth. Preparing and eating nutritious foods and going to bed and waking up on a schedule all work to stabilize. And so I want to talk about that, because those seem like easy things, but in the world we live in today, they're not that easy. And that, I mean, we walk, and really, I don't, when I was reading that, I was thinking, you know what, my shoe connected with the, I mean, because we just, we're so into just doing stuff. So talk to us about the importance of slowing down, Pamela, and what that can do for us holistically as well.
Yes, it all comes back to this quieting of the mind. So the chakras, and you spoke about the root chakra, they're energy centers. That's just what a chakra is. And in the yoga tradition, there's seven main ones. They kind of run up along your spine. And it's, you know, it's sort of esoteric because we can't see or measure this. So you don't have to know about them or you don't have to think that they're true or not. It doesn't matter. But it helps you when you know the yoga, for me at least, it sort of explained a lot of things. And it gave me kind of an architecture of the energy of my body to work with. And the root chakra is very connected to survival, connection to earth, gravity, balance. When you're in the physical postures, it's about balance. And because we're in our head so much, which when we're thinking, we're typically a little above the head, you know, when we think we sort of tilt the head sideways and look up, because we're not connected to the body, we're a little ahead. So when we think about the root chakra, it brings us into our body, and the root chakra is connected to the earth through energetically, according to the yoga energy maps. So if we do something like move our residence, or there's a major change in our life, that area can get a little weakened. Our energy can get a little scattered in that area, and we can lose our balance. So coming back into the body, especially when we're running around racing, doing more things than normal, to bring it back, to come back and just breathe, bring awareness to that area, can really be helpful and also be informative to us of what we need to be healthy.
Yeah, such a great point. So I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome Pamela Selig to our program. Pamela's written a really transformative book. It's called Threads of Yoga: Themes, Reflections, and Meditations to Weave into Your Practice. So what is your hope then, Pamela, for someone like myself who picked up the book and read it, someone who maybe listened to this conversation and pick it up and read it? By the time they finish, what do you hope it does for them in their journey where they are to getting them where they want to go?
Well, you know, the yoga that I found and I've studied for the last couple of decades, so many times I would be reading something or learning something and say, oh, everybody should know this, or, oh, I wish I knew this when I was younger. So there are so many things in here, but also in just the yoga, you know, the vast science of yoga, that can really help us in our modern, busy lives, that can really help us achieve balance. And I think because of the globe is becoming more connected, just technologically, you know, our Western culture has made incredible strides technologically. It's just amazing. But
yeah.
There's also other knowledge, you know, more ancient, indigenous, other knowledge that we've sort of discounted. And a lot of it is held in this, in a lot of these practices of coming back into the body, respecting or feeling the heart center. Those sorts of things can really, I think, bring more balance, peace, and ease into our lives. So that's my hope.
Love that. Yeah. Well, I tell you, it was, for me, it was really amazing to be able to read it, and I think to really think about ways I can apply it, which I think is always the most difficult but also the most necessary part of it all. It's one thing to be able to read it and to be able to make a connection, but to actually put it into practice, I think that's when we're able to really see the benefits. Again, the book Threads of Yoga is available now. You can get it through our friends at Amazon.com. Pamela, I will be writing my review on Amazon this weekend. How can our audience stay connected with you?
Oh, thank you so much. The best way is through my website. It's Pamela Seelig, SEELIG.com, and I have my social media and about the book on that website.
All right. Well, Pamela, congratulations to you again. Really appreciate you writing this book and having this conversation with us today, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Oh, look, I appreciate that, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.